microphones and make a podcast. Two microphones and you make a podcast.
Hi, this is Joyce.
And this is Mary Beth.
Welcome to the Modern Yoga Podcast. Today's special guest is the Warrior Challenge champion,
dun, 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 dun,
Mary Beck.
And so I was just going to say, this is Mary Beth, not Mary Beck, because people were confused as they tracked the Warrior Challenge. Who is Mary B? That's first.
She's the one up in the right-hand corner, right underneath the steam generator, 95% of the time.
That is me.
Every once in a while. Somebody beats you that corner and she stands there and goes, I don't know how to do this anymore.
Right.
Like
not as bad as previous guest Dave Hoffman when his spot is taken. Then the world is out of orbit.
Yes. How are you, Mary?
I am doing well.
So Mary won the coveted Modern Yoga Warrior Challenge belt.
Yes, I did.
Custom belt. You want to tell us how the belt came about, Joyce?
One guess.
James.
Actually, it probably was because we won the lower division softball playoffs a few years ago and got a trophy, and then we won it again the next year and they gave us a wrestling belt. It's in the lobby and you've worn it.
Yeah,
and
I have.
It's huge and kind of obnoxious, and I think that seed was planted then. So when it was time to get Mary,
I think we can thank, you know, big time entertainment wrestling for that sort of belt. It's funny, I forgot about this until just this moment, but I remember being a young child and my grandpa, my dad's dad, who I didn't really know because he lived out of state and was kind of estranged until I was maybe 10 or something. He loved that wrestling and kind of believed it was real-ish. So that just took me back. So, I mean, Mary Alice now could be like, you could have a stage name, take people down.
Are you thinking about guys in Speedos now?
No.
Like the singlet.
No. Oddly enough, I am not thinking of them.
Because if we did, we'd think of the men we know in them. And that brings laughter.
Indeed.
You just think of envisioning the men that we know.
Yeah.
So we started this Warrior Challenge contest on March 4th. And
the only date that is a command.
What? Oh.
March 4th.
Who knew?
For all you Catholic girls, go forth among the people.
And I'm just going to throw this out there now. This is the second recording of this podcast because I forgot to hit record last time and we thought we had a pretty good one that we lost. But I don't know. We are off to a great start.
We are.
Mary Beth is singing. We're talking about singlets. I mean, woo!
You shouldn't blame yourself, Joyce. You didn't need to tell the international podcast audience that you forgot to hit record. You could have just said technical difficulties.
I don't even know what happened. I don't know what that's so.
Well, clearly we do know what happened, Joyce.
But anyway.
I want to make a meme out of it of Adelaide. Do you remember that one picture of Adelaide when she was like 5 or something or 4 and she had her hand on her hip and looked like you were crazy? And I used to make memes out of it.
Yes.
Like, what time is it, Joyce? Or whatever. We need to make that. Did you forget to hit record, Joyce?
Yeah.
What's that red button for, Joyce?
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Now, I feel like I'm getting admonished by a 5-year-old times 3. So, anyhow, back to the subject at matter. We started the Modern Yoga Warrior Challenge on March 4th and ended it on May 19th, which was our 7-year anniversary. And so the challenge was, part of it was the first 25 people to take 35 classes got a t-shirt. And then the person that had the most classes not only won a warrior mat, but apparently we didn't know at the time, got this awesome wrestling belt. And
don't forget about the coveted t-shirt.
Well, I just mentioned, are you paying attention?
Oh, did you? I wasn't listening. I was pouring my coffee.
Ooh. And then the second.
Mel's diner over here.
Also got a warrior mat. And Mary took, what was that, 104 classes in this short amount of time. And yeah, you were there in the studio all the time.
Sometimes two or even more a day.
I remember at the beginning of the challenge, you were just saying that you needed to be out of the house. And so the timing was good.
It was good. It was really good.
And as I said in the last earlier version of this same episode that Joyce forgot to record, what I love about this is, as a woman of a certain age, Mary Alice is also not a 25-year-old marathon runner or anything. So to do 104 yoga classes between March and May, whatever, is bravo.
Thank you.
Emphasis on the bra.
Of course. A very party sports bra.
Support.
So, yep. Mary, it's 76 days, 104 classes.
Wow. You, jeez.
I'm just going to throw this out there as a guess. You probably don't have the time to do two or three classes a day either, but you made the time for yourself and you decided to take this challenge on. You've mentioned before and during it that it was something that you wanted to accomplish. And I know a lot of people, including myself, sometimes struggle with making time for self-care. How did you do that and stick with it for 76 days? Because that's pretty incredible.
Well, all I wanted was a t-shirt. That was the only, I thought, because I have been, my attendance has been spotty over the last, like, so ever since I hurt my knee, I just have not gotten back into a rhythm of it. And I don't know why, it was just the timing of it. You know, I thought, well, I can get a t-shirt. I can go, I can, and I looked at my calendar and I said, well, you know, even if I have to double up or, you know, like certain days, like, you know, to say I took three classes, like sometimes it would be like Sundays and that yin at the end, that is almost like not taking a class. It's so, so good and relaxing. Mm. You know, I mean, you work, but it's a different kind of work. So, you know, it's like, I might take two classes and then a yin. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can do this. I can work this out. And, you know, I had a trip coming up, my vacation. And I'm like, well, if I can get that 35 days in, the 35 classes in, and get my t-shirt before I go on vacation, you know, I'm good. And one day, James, you know, but I had it, like, I had it in my calendar. I had, like, if I, you know, take my workout clothes to work, if I, you know, if I arrange this, if Frank picks Tommy up from school or, you know, work or whatever, if I don't, if I have these little carved out this time, I can get my shirt. And then James looked at me one day and he said, you know, you're leading the pack.
Leader of the pack.
Yeah. By kind of a lot. And I'm like, oh, you're kidding. He goes, you're going to get that mat. And I'm like, no. I said, no, James, I have vacation. And then, like, it kind of just started this little spark, you know.
The Eye of the Tiger theme song was playing in the back of your head.
And I'm like, well, you know, if I'm in the lead now, like, if I can just keep doing this, why not try? Because the only thing that is happening is I'm benefiting from this.
Right.
Even you know, like, if you I could tell already, just by a consistent practice, that like things were happening with my knee, which hadn't happened before, which I'm going to say was the yin classes, taking those yin classes have really helped my knee. And, you know, I found that my energy was better and I just felt like my old self. And even my husband said, he's like, you seem so much happier. You seem so much more like you. And so I'm like, well, why can't I just try to do this? And then I got sick and I was out for a week because I had a respiratory virus. And I'm like, well, whatever, you know, I'm just going to still keep going. But, and I was still in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is a sign.
It is your race to lose.
It is. And I'm like, well, why can't I try? What harm is it doing? It, you know, and maybe it's a little inconvenient for a few people, but it's only for 3 months or, you know, 75 mm-hmm. days, whatever. And I'm like, you know, there is absolutely no negative here. So mm-hmm. why not try?
And it speaks so much to motivation and how small as it is, a t-shirt, which you can afford to buy yourself whatever t-shirt you want, a little piece gives us an excuse, because now it's just not Mary Alice selfishly saying, I need more time for self-care. It's right. like, here's an excuse. There's a contest. Let's see. It just takes the smallest thing. Like, we don't need a $1 million prize. We don't need to win the lottery.
I don't need to run a marathon. Like, my sister runs marathons and she's very, you know, she trains and everything. I'm like, well, you know, it could be argued, and I don't want to start any, but it could be argued that running that far is dumb.
Oh, you're on the right podcast. You're on the right podcast.
I mean, have you listened to me? I think that's crazy and hard on the body, but that's another story. But
so if she can do that, why can't I do this?
Right. So right. Two things, Joyce, that just reminded me that our next warrior challenge or contest should be, I think we all had these as kids on vacation or saw them at the souvenir stores. I won the modern yoga warrior challenge and all I got was this stupid t-shirt.
You guys, hold on. I have to let the cat out.
Who let the cat out? Who? The other thing I'd like to say while Mary Alice is taking care of her pet is that she brought up, and this is a little off topic, but we'll come back. She brought up her knee pain or injury and yin yoga, which I'd really like to do a commercial for our yin sauna, because, you know, sometimes you have an injury or your doctor will be like, go to yoga. Well, sometimes very physical yoga can be very bad for a knee injury. And that's why yin is not just about like relaxing and drifting to dreamland, but it's about getting some action in your connective tissue. And James is great to teach this because he's had some knee problems. A lot of times in your yoga practice, a more active vinyasa practice, you'll think about where your knees are supposed to be because there's weight and movement and everything. But in yin, you have the opportunity to, what might seem counterintuitive, to kind of crunch your knee closed, right? It actually is a good opportunity for blood flow safely because you're not pushing off and putting mm-hmm. all of your body's weight on it. So that's my little yin commercial that Mary accidentally walked into.
Can I add to that?
Please.
It was like last Thursday, I was in Susie's yin, and you know, on my knee, has been bugging me now for a couple of years. And of course I haven't gone to the doctor because of course, you know, I take care of everyone else but me, right? Mm-hmm. And we did one, it was hip oriented, and one of the stretches, I mean, I truly almost could not move out of it, but it's like, I felt like, it didn't feel a pop, but I felt like almost like really? Something's about to give. Like I can feel it in there. Like it's not ready, but it is about to give. And then last night I went to her yin class and it was the same. It's like, it's right. Like if I just keep going, I feel like it's going to open up because I feel like my hip is really has been almost frozen in a sense for.
Oh my gosh. These are all such great words you're using because as you will attest to in yin, sometimes they talk about getting close to your edge. Mm-hmm. And then finding stillness there. That's exactly what we're talking about. It's like you start to get the feedback from your body on where you should be. And now let's pause here and let my tissues absorb this edge, this place before maybe moving on another week, maybe not.
And I love that you are like, you know that it's coming, but you're not trying to force it to.
Yeah. You know? Like I would love to just kind of like, it feels like I would just love to like rip it. Like a Barbie doll leg, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's not there, but I can feel for the first time in a really long time that something is happening there. And it's like, oh, I got to keep going again.
There's something happening here.
And at the beginning,
just the songbird this morning.
I know. Right? Maybe we should always podcast early in the morning.
But it is exactly clear.
Of course, her focus is gone, but right. You know.
Back to you, Joyce. On,
you said that when you would, you know, like sometimes the Sunday night yin would almost feel like not taking a class. And I think to a lot of power yogis, this is what they, actually not just to a lot of power yogis, I think just in general, we feel like if it's not hard, if it's not like, if we're not, you know, pushing ourselves,
counting the calories and the move rings,
that it's not productive. And you always say this, Mary Beth, like, or the way you say it, your body benefits in yin postures from time and not effort. And so to just surrender to into these poses and then really tune into what your body is telling you is so productive. It's so productive. And like a lot of people tell me they sleep really well after a yin class. Like it's just heaven.
And it's just like the rest of our lives. It's something a lot of us speed past. And yes. It's so important, especially if you're an athlete or a regular yogi. Like the stronger your muscles get, the more stress there is on those connective tissues, and not in a great way. Like you need to balance it out.
Yeah.
And I think you have to think about like, what is it that you want? Do you want to, you know, win this race, or do you want to do you want to run forever? Whatever your sport is, do you want to, you know, swim or, you know, practice yoga or run or, you know, play volleyball, whatever it is, you know, do you want to do it for this game? Do you want to do it today while, you know, or do you want to do it for the rest of your life?
And isn't that hard to get to before you're our age? And I say our age, Joyce is younger. I think I'm in the middle. We're all in the age where things like that are dawning on us.
Yeah.
Like I could run a marathon. I can't even say that without laughing because I can't and wouldn't, but
I mean, you have said the furthest you've run is down the driveway.
Down the driveway. And even that is a struggle. But do I want to be able to walk my grandchildren or get on the floor with them? And that's something that doesn't occur to you because you don't ever think that's going to be you until that tide starts coming in hot.
Well, then when the tide starts coming in, you're like, no, I'm not that.
No, I don't need reading glasses.
Right. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, shit, I should have been thinking about this a long time ago. How come nobody told me? And then it's sunscreen, like, oh, wait, I wasn't listening.
Like all the things, you do get there. Oh, yeah, I should have worn sunscreen. I wouldn't have this age spot on the side of my face.
Clearly. And we can see that over Zoom. I'll throw this out there. So on the same, kind of on the same note, my body feels pretty good, but I chipped a tooth yesterday or Wednesday. Like I was chewing and I'm like, why is this crunching? And I'm like, oh,
no, stop eating rocks. I told you
it's probably ice and gum.
Do you truly chew ice?
I love ice. Yeah.
Oh, ice.
I knew she was going to do that. I knew it.
I felt like now she scolded me with her reaction. I'm going to have to freeze that. Go back. She's like,
so you chipped, is it a visible tooth, most importantly? Do we need to put a chiclet in place?
It's the first, what is it called? Premolar on the inside.
I'm
top
afraid
right.
I
only
know
that
the
because
name.
The dentist called me last night at like 7:45.
I was going to say, I'm afraid I don't know the names of the teeth.
I didn't either. I just told him it was a molar. He's like, what molar? There's premolars. There's, you know, I'm like,
I think incisor is the pointy one.
Yeah, canine. It's right behind the canine.
Oh, canine.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. I mean, our teeth and bones start to crumble. We don't want to admit it, but they do.
Yeah. It's good times. Good times. I don't know how we went there. So I have a question for you. You mentioned Mary Beck that I can't even call you MB.
There's MAB and MBT.
You can call me Mary Alice. That's
Mary
always
Alice.
Mary Alice.
Do you go by Mary? You go by Mary Alice a lot. I've heard
more often than not.
Do you ever just go by Alice?
No.
No. Okay.
Go ask.
People call me Malice. Okay. People call me Malice.
Malice. That's freaking awesome.
It is.
You mentioned that your husband at towards the beginning of the challenge said that you seem happier and more like you.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to start doing yoga soon?
No.
The girl he married. No.
Well, maybe not there, but no, he's not.
Even if he sees that you're happier, it's just your thing.
It is just my thing because, and I think this is, it's hard to say because we're in the modern yoga circle, right? And there are all sorts of people that come.
Yeah.
You know, there are young men, there are older men, there are women. I mean, everybody there. I mean, it's a real diverse group. You've mm-hmm. got people like me that are, you know, not in the best of shape, older. You've got like people way older than me going. You've mm-hmm. got people like that are athletes going, young people. I mean, and men and women. And but I think in general, yoga kind of gets thrown into the female. Like that's for women. Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't want to do that. That's for women, you know, mm-hmm. and it isn't, but.
Well, and it wasn't, women weren't even allowed to do it when up until not that long ago.
Right. That's a Western yoga thing that it's women, but that's where I think the hot power, the active yoga helps give men permission to, you know, to go. It's not, we're not just sitting around stretching. And certainly they need it because they tend to be so strong and muscular. They really do need the stretch. And the last thing I'll say is sometimes a man, not all men, but some men, feel they cannot do it better than the female next to them. And they don't like that feeling. Not that you can, I always say it's like your hairline or your belly button, your yoga. It's just yours, your handwriting. It's not better or worse. You can't be good at it. But some gentlemen have a problem with that.
And you can't be bad at it either, ever.
Right. Right.
But one time a teacher told me, actually it was my sister, like she worked at a studio in Vegas for a while. And I had a bad shoulder. And I said, I don't know if I can go to class. And she said, you know, my instructor says, if whatever you can do, like if you can do 1%, if you have 1% movement and you go and you just try 1%, it's better than doing nothing.
Mm, amen.
Absolutely.
My mom has a rotator cuff rip that they're not going to repair. They're going to send her for therapy or whatever. And so she can't do, like when James injured his shoulder years ago, like she can't do anything on one side, but she's been going back a couple times a week again regularly to our Cindy at Modern. And she just said to me this week, she's like, man, I just feel so much better when I'm going. Just strength, stamina, stretch, doesn't matter about this arm.
Yeah.
But
I just jiggled my upper arm fat for all of you who cannot see this.
That's the description for the international podcast audience.
Yep.
We had made a list, you and I, Mary Beth Twerty,
mm-hmm.
of 10 things that we knew about Mary Beck. And then we quizzed her on those 10 things.
Right. Does she know them about herself?
Yes. Do you still have your list?
I do. We might have covered some of them. Do you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
My first thing about Mary Alice Beck, or heretofore known as Alice, is that she has a horse named Mikey.
Yes, I do.
He's a horse gal.
He's 18 years old, and he acts like a big golden retriever.
Yes, he does. But I've been, since I'm not going to Modern Yoga 3 times a day, I've been working with him and giving him a little more attention, and he's a good boy. He came off the racetrack at Thistledown. He was retired early. His owners just really had a soft spot for him. And he got out of his stall one night and was like running around on the track. And after that point, he was not the same, and not like he was just, he would just run like with his whole heart. And they were so afraid that he was going to hurt himself. And they loved him so much. And they had another horse at our barn, like a non-racehorse. And they saw me taking care of my mare that had cancer. And they wanted to give him to a good home because I couldn't ride her at that point. Mm-hmm. So Mikey became part of our family.
Let me ask you this as a horse person and a horse loving person. How do you feel about the racing of horses?
It's a really difficult. It's a hard industry. Mm-hmm. You know, like the horses that we see, I feel, I mean, there are horses, obviously, like Mikey and owners like Mikey's previous owner who do care about their horses, but there are a lot of people that don't. And there are a lot of, you know, like the horse racing that we all see that's all public is like the Kentucky Derby. And those horses are racing on like the highest level, right? They mm-hmm. are, and so they have the, you know, beautifully lined stalls and, you know,
the money behind them,
like, you know, 3 feet of straw and, you know, but the majority of racing is not like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, I don't want to get into a big
sure.
thing, but I mean, it is a difficult and a wasteful energy because you've got all these beautiful creatures mm-hmm. who are, you know, trained almost for one thing. And that's just, and then, and sometimes when they're over raced, then, and they're not able to be rehabilitated into like a family horse or a
right. And that's why I was asking, because we've all heard the horror stories about greyhound racing and, you know, heck, everything from dogs to chickens to child actors. You know, we use these creatures for monetary gain and they're just abused and discarded. So I wondered how prevalent that was with horses. And again, like not to get into a thing, but it has to be, there have to be a lot of horse lovers and people with horses in the family who are also, some of them race and some of them don't. So it must be a difficult sort of place to be.
Well, and for every Kentucky Derby, there's, you know, a lot of headlines on how many horses lost their life in the events at the leading Kentucky Derby mm-hmm. or all the big races. And I know, like, I don't know much about horses and obviously I love animals, but for years now, every Kentucky Derby, I end up crying because the horses are so beautiful. Like all those horses running together are just like,
it is beautiful.
It just takes my breath away. But at the same time, then I'm like so mad at everybody who does that to them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I understand it's, you know, they're beautiful. They're so big and majestic and, you know, they're
rippling muscles and,
but that's such a small percentage of mm-hmm. all of the horses that are, or all the people who are trying to get their horses to that level. And, you know, and it's, there's a level of ridiculousness to like the Kentucky Derby too. Right. You know, it's, yeah, I don't know, but that's another podcast.
Right. Right.
So Mary has been to Modern Yoga over 680 times since October 16th of 2017. So aside from winning the Warrior Challenge, if I did a lifetime attendance,
lifetime achievement award.
Yeah. You might win that as well. I'll have to figure that one out.
Not to steal your thunder on a list, but I was just going to go down another road about, I was going to say they give the lifetime achievement award to really old actors and Mary happens to be an actor.
Yes, I've been doing theater since I was in high school. And that was my major in college. Theater. Eventually, mm-hmm. you know, I was on the long-term plan.
Oh, you were on the long-term plan. I was introducing a girl, Laura, who came to class yesterday as someone I went to college with, which I love to say, cause she's 30 since I didn't go till my 40s. So what did you major in first before you switched to theater?
Well, I had a very unsuccessful year at John Carroll, where I was supposed to be a business major.
yeah.
We all know that was just a disaster waiting to happen. And then I went to Tri-C and majored in theater. And then when I lived in New York, I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. Hey. And when I came back, I was like, I just felt like I needed to finish something, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I started off at Case, but Case was really expensive. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I could go to Cleveland State full time. I could quit my job, go to school full time for less than I could take one class at Case, was only like part time. I would have to keep working. And so I eventually wound up getting my degree in theater and English from CSU.
I love
that. And I was 40.
Yeah. So you haven't been a person who has just done your thing, right? You've raised a family and we'll get into all that. And you've got your mother with you now and everything, but you always did heed your inner voice a little bit, right? You maybe didn't make yourself the number one priority, but you still did take steps in that direction, which I love because a lot of people don't. And it's just like you were saying about the 1% when you were injured, maybe you didn't like cancel your life and go get your degree, but you did however much percent in that direction until you met a goal. I love that. Bravo. See, some of this shit didn't come out in the first time that you didn't record Joy. So this was a good thing.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. Great plan, Joyce.
You heeded listen to your inner voice too. I'm the only one who stuck with it when I was young and got a degree that I wouldn't go back and get again.
Also, not to make it about me, but I mean, somehow I always do. I didn't heed my inner voice. My husband heeds my inner voice. There's things I never would have thought of going back to school and dropping out of the workplace or half the shit we do. He's like, why not this? And I'm like, huh, who would have thought that?
He's a keeper.
He's a keeper.
My financier.
Very important thing on my list of 10 things I know about Mary Beck is she has a cat named Puff.
Yes, to go out to the, he has a litter box in the garage. He doesn't go outside anymore because he went out one day and didn't come back for 3 months.
I remember, it's a dangerous world out there.
But he likes his litter box in the garage. So when I said I had to go let the cat out, that's his preference. He has another one in the house, but
it's like the cat equivalent of going out for a cigarette. He wants to do that out in the garage, get a little fresh air, check out the neighbors.
Our garage is not so fresh, however. I'm just letting you know.
Does he blow smoke rings while he uses the box?
She has a son named Tommy who is going to be a senior this year?
Yes, he just finished his junior year at St. Ignatius. Wow. I'm so proud of him. He has had struggles. I think all kids have, you know, since 2020 was his freshman year. Mm-hmm. So that was just rough, but like he's starting to come into his, like figure out who he is. And he's made some really good friends and he, is balancing, you know, a job and, scouts. He's a life scout in Troop 701 in Strongsville. Wow. So he is like trying to get his Eagle project together and get that done before he turns 18.
He's going to have skills.
And then this year, like he leaves for Seabase tomorrow, which is, they'll be on a sailboat. They fly into Fort Lauderdale. I can't remember exactly what city Seabase is in, but then they sail down to the Keys, down to Key West.
Wow.
So and then, so he's all excited about that. We got him all outfitted yesterday. And, but he's just like be starting to, like, I think become who he's going to be. Like he's starting to do things on his own. Yesterday we went down to school and he, was lent a camera so that he could work on an AP art project this summer. And like, that's something that he just wants to do. He's going to be taking visual art. And I'm like, I'm just so proud of him that he's figuring this out.
And he's never a normal teenage pain in the butt.
Oh,
this is what, 100, what did you say? 104 classes, 75 days. I don't want to deal with these people. And he is definitely one of them. He is, I mean, but everybody is, right? You live with anybody, and you know, he's figuring it out. It's hard to be 17.
Part of being a teenager is kind of being a little adult jerk.
A pita.
Yeah. But I mean, it's hard. It's hard, and you got to just give them some room to,
and some example. So back to taking care of yourself and following that voice inside when you have interests or things you want to pursue. Like, he'll always feel like that's an okay thing to do, even as a grown up adult who's married or has a job or a mortgage or a kid. Good job.
What's going on over there, Mary Beth? You're making all kind of faces. Did the dog fart or something?
No, did I? Am I making ugly faces?
No, not ugly faces. You just did one of these.
That's my face, Joyce.
I'll have to include this clip.
I said, have you worn your championship belt grocery shopping?
Welcome, James.
That would be pretty cool if you were in Mark's and you're just kind of wearing it.
With the t-shirt, so they know where it's from. Yeah.
Well, we haven't done the t-shirts yet. I've actually had, I think, about four people say, what's up with the t-shirt? So I got to do
that. Damn it, James.
Well, James, once I get that t-shirt, I will put it on and I will wear my belt into Mark's just for you.
When they call the Strongsville
police, you know that I will.
You got to bring your son or bring a selfie stick. I want you just walking around and don't tell anybody anything. Just let them see it. All right. Have fun.
James is so proud of that belt.
He is. And
so,
he won it.
Yeah. So, Joyce, tell us real quick again. So, we were going to do like a plaque or a trophy first, right?
I mean, that was just what I anticipated.
James may have always had a different.
And the next thing you know, James is like, let's get this for Mary Beck. And I'm like, oh, she would appreciate that. Because one of the things I have on my, actually the first thing I have on my list of 10 things I know about Mary Beck is that she has a great sense of humor. So I knew that she would, she'd be okay with getting a big wrestling belt. And that thing was no joke. Like, it is no joke. That's a heavy.
Oh, look. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
We have photos of that we'll post with this podcast. It's,
yes.
It's a thing of grace and beauty.
It definitely.
I mean, you have to do yoga to have enough strength to lift this belt.
I asked her one day at the studio, how come she wasn't wearing it? Like, to yoga.
Well, you know, because mostly I go to the hot yoga classes and I think the steam. And it would not be a good combination.
It would melt the glue.
We don't don't want anything bad to happen to it.
What James did not realize was that it was a football wrestling belt. and it has like the main thing in the middle and then two things on the side that had football. So he had Susie make little modern yoga. I don't know, they look like chips and
little medallion. Let me insert this commercial. Susie being Susie Ketterer of Little Lotus jewelry fame.
Handmade jewelry.
Handmade with love.
So she made those little medallions and I super glued them on over the football. So if she did wear it in the corner with all the steam, they just might fall off.
Which Mary, when you got up to get that belt, I noticed a lovely piece of art in your absence. Is that, did you make that or someone in your family?
That is my son, Tommy. Made this. We were down at school yesterday.
What?
Self-portrait from 2020. It was, he took a freshman drawing class, or it was an art class, and they had different, like this obviously is painting. It was an elective that he chose. And
it's this beautiful painting on canvas with a teen's hair falling in his eyes, cool glasses, and the COVID mask. And it's just, oh my gosh, I can't believe that's,
yeah.
That
is,
what
so
a talent.
So yesterday we were down at school and they're doing a bunch of, they're remodeling, they've got a whole big, you know, reconstruction plan for the school. Some of those buildings are really old and they're like redoing inside. And so the art teacher he was meeting with has to move her office. And she says, oh, here's your, this was from freshman year. You never took it home.
From freshman year yet.
Yeah. So I love it because it just sums up that year so much. Like, you can see the isolation, you can see the pain, you can see, you know, and it goes beyond just regular teenage, you know, right. Like, there's something happening in the world and you can
see it. Have you seen that before?
No.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Did he, like, that was probably no big deal to him. Like, oh, whatever, right. It's my art project.
It's perfect because, and I think I saw Joyce take a picture of it. So it's like this normal, fun, funky teen. And then he's, you know, covered up with a mask. Cool hair, great color.
Well, nobody was, well, I don't know if he's cutting his hair now, but like, remember, nobody was cutting their hair.
Yeah, my husband looked like Jim Trafficant for a while, if anybody remembers who that is.
They even revised the dress code because they're pretty strict at Ignatius. Mm-hmm. They revised the dress code that they did not have to. They allowed longer hair because they were on campus, like they had a hybrid schedule. So everybody was on campus half a day. And, you know, like you had morning classes or afternoon classes, and then the rest were, you know, on at home. And, you know, they let you go with your hair. They let you go with facial hair because they couldn't, you know, enforce it because you were behind a mask.
And do they, have they left that relaxed or have they gone back to stricter rules?
They are both. They've changed a little bit. Like they finally have allowed, like boys can have longer hair as long as they wear it back. Like, so they have to have it in a ponytail.
Man bun?
A man bun.
They love me a man bun.
Yeah.
Not on a St. Ignatius boy, because that's just creepy for me, but at my age. But that's one good benefit of the COVID crisis was some things shook out that were just maybe ridiculous and unnecessary. Now at a private place or institution, it's okay to have a dress code or a policy on stuff. But for a lot of like workplaces and work habits, it was like, all right, let's be pragmatic and not just arbitrary.
We needed to make this change a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I recently saw a headline saying hard pants are a thing of the past.
Hard pants.
Hard pants. Yes. Were we talking about that?
I don't think so. Maybe
hard pants. Maybe
hard pants.
You must have been talking about hard pants with someone else.
Yes, but like that sweatpants or leggings or, you know, like yoga
more
pants,
comfortable
or
pants. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's still grandmother for us ladies.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Mary Beth. A lot of good changes, necessary changes, came, but I also, I don't know. I like that they're not everything relaxed, you know, like there's just something nice about being put together. Can't relax all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember asking my dad, you know, as a kid talking about like why to make your bed. Of course, I've never made my bed, but I said something about how stupid it was in the Army. My dad had been in the Army just when he was drafted. He wasn't a career military person or anything, but I said, how stupid to have to make your bed so perfectly and shine your boots. And he was like, those guys need that. There's days you have no other purpose, or, you know, you have to have some of those things. So that made a little bit of sense to me. So there's a lot of reasons for some things, but that's a wonderful sentence.
An article,
there's a lot of reasons for some things.
Making your bed the first thing in the morning sets your day. Mm-hmm. Like the first thing you do really sets the tone of your day. So if you lay in bed and look at your phone, like that kind of sets your day. That was the purpose of the article, but like it really,
like the tail wags the dog instead of the other way around.
Yeah.
What if the first thing you do is get up and go to yoga class?
There you go. Right. So let's
leave your bed unmade.
I mean, I think it's a good trade-off.
I do too.
What? So a lot of people will say, I can't get up that early, or, you know, tell us about getting up that early. And are you always up that early? And does it make you tired later? Like, what's the, you practice at 5:45 a.m. sometimes three times a week, which is what we have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in the Strongsville studio, and Tuesday, Thursday in Brecksville, which I think is a little too far for you.
But, I'm not awake at 5:45 unless a smoke alarm is going off.
Anyhow, what is your experience?
Well, Joyce, I remember. So when I first started, what was it, back 2017?
Yep.
What did you say?
October 16th.
October 16th. I remember that. But you had an earlier class.
5 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursday, yeah.
And, you know, I had taken a new student special. So here's the ad for the new student special, because I think it's phenomenal. And I was like, I'm going to try to, you know, get every class that I can go to and check out every teacher and see, you know, and this was a while back, but so a lot of the teachers have changed, but I'm just going to try to see where I fit and see where this fits into my schedule. And for me, my evenings are full, like, you know, my, up until just this year, Tommy didn't drive and, you know, mm-hmm. I have Mikey and, you know, like, so there's, and I'll often have rehearsals in the evenings when I'm in a show. So, you know, I can't do anything in the evening, but I have that time that nobody else needs anything from me. And I will get up. Am I a morning person? No, but I will set my alarm. I will get up. I put my clothes out the night before. I will pack my, you know, go bag for work the night before. I will get just because I need that time like that. If that's the only time that I can just have for me, then I will get up and I will do that because nobody else needs me then. They're right. All asleep. But the one time, so I went and I was like, I'm going to go to that 5:45 class. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it. And I had tried a couple of times and like, I just rolled over and went back to sleep or like, I just didn't cut like my travel time, like didn't plan it right. And I'd pull in and I'd see the lights on it, but it had already started and I'm like, I'm not going to be the one that walked in late. Aww. So I go back home. So I tried a couple times and I tried the one time and the door was locked and all the shoes here, it was 5:45. Like it was like 5:30 because I wanted to get there early. It was 5:30 and all there was, the lobby was full of shoes and the door was locked and I could see like shadows moving around in the studio. And I'm like, well, somebody's got to be in there. So I call poor Joyce at 5:30 in the morning. And I just thought that maybe it would ring in the office. I didn't realize it was her cell phone at home. And I mean, she's like, hello. And I'm like, I'm at the studio and I can't get into the class. And she's like, oh, we changed that. We're just experimenting. And we changed it. We started it at 5:00. And I was like, oh. So I went on to work. And then the next week, and I was like, oh, first I apologized to Joyce. I was like, I am so sorry. I didn't realize. Oh my gosh. I was so, but then I started going at the 5:00 class, which then I have time to go home and shower and it's perfect.
That's nighttime, man.
That's another COVID change. Like our 5 a.m. classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays were pretty solid. And then COVID happened. And quite honestly, we haven't had much demand for that class to come back because so many people are working from home.
Yeah, they can just take a shower and put their butt in the chair instead of having, you know, their half hour commute or whatever.
Yeah, and the phone is
from what I hear.
Almost,
I'm not awake
all the time. It's by the time Mary Beth is up, some people have gotten up, gone to yoga, taken a shower, and are sitting at their desk working.
I used to, before COVID, I taught a hot at 7 a.m. on a Thursday, and me and Kara whined about it all the time. Although Kara, who worked the desk, was more of a morning person than I, but I was like, I can't do this. And that's 7. I mean, that's reasonable to some.
Yeah. But the phone is forwarded to my cell phone almost 100% of the time. Once in a while, when we remember, we'll send it to James's, but James,
it's the glamorous life of a business owner.
It is, and the glamorous life. Joyce,
James is busy being the janitor. Also be the office manager.
I'll go off on a tangent. The other day I was answering a call on the Maid of the Mist.
Oh, wow.
And James was like, can you just put the phone down? And it was a robocall anyhow. I'm like, yeah, I mean, what am I?
I think I was on the Maid of the Mist in like 1976.
You have to go on the Maid of the Mist if you're in Niagara Falls. Like, I think it's a,
yeah, you gotta wear that slicker.
The slicker, yeah. Wearing the slicker. So we might bring the 5 a.m.s back. And we'll have Mary Beth teach both of them. Tuesday,
I remember Thursday. Early on you were looking for a sub, and I said, I absolutely will sub if you have exhausted every other possibility. You can count on me if you must, but please try literally everybody else first.
So
I think you did, though. You did wind up once or twice.
I think only once.
I think
yeah, I was there.
Not a 5 a.m., a 5:45, not a 5 a.m. for sure. I have a quote from Mary Beck from the podcast that is, that we'll never hear. Everything that happens on the mat is a metaphor for life. Maybe I'll put that on a plaque. It says Mary Alice Beck, 2023.
We should paint it on the wall.
Warrior Challenge.
And really, because that came up in conversation, she wasn't trying to come up with a big quote. She was talking about her journey, her yoga journey from the beginning, and specifically this contest, and realized at some point that all of this is a metaphor. You know, every pose, everything you do. Do you have any more to say about that, Malin?
When you talk about, like, oh my gosh, like, I think yoga relates to everything. I think that it is help. It will help you be a better parent, a better worker, a better person. I think for me in the course, I think it's helped me with my horse, you know, because instead of being reactive right away and tensing up and, you know, you try to relax, you stay in the moment, you breathe, like you were talking about breathing the other day, Mary Beth. And, you know, like, if you breathe into anything, you're going to have a stronger base, right? Because you're not at that, you're not tense, you're not at the edge. I mean, you might be inside, you know, just all roiled up, but if you are trying to do that Ujjayi breath, like whatever it is you're you know, trying to work through, it's going to flow more easily if you're breathing, if you're loose, if you so I think that working around my horse, I'm a better person when I'm doing yoga. And then as an actor, the yoga, like stepping up as a yogi and in intensifying my yoga game changed the way I approached acting. And I mean,
how so?
Just like it's sort of hard. It's like it's first of all, it's the breath. And if you're breathing, you're more relaxed, things happen, and you allow things to happen as opposed to, I mean, this is the thing I think as actors, everybody fights is being in that moment and not having an idea of what this is supposed to be. So, you know, here's my lines. Here's what I want to cry here. I want to have this, you know, I want to be angry, you know, here, like you mark out the arc of your character, the map, like this is what, but you're so much better off if you're relaxed coming that as opposed to, you know, hitting it really hard.
So like letting go of controlling the situation and instead letting it all flow through you.
And meditating helped a lot. I started meditating, and like that's part of my pre show ritual. And that just, like, you know, you just zone in and you focus intensely, and everything falls away at the same time. Like, so you've got that laser focus, but everything, like all your effort, falls away. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I like how you kind of just said falls apart, falls away even on accident, because sometimes I think we get confused. Like if things fall away, I don't know, like we all deal with so much stress that when it falls away, we don't really know what to do. But then you come to this realization of like, no, this is good. And I can really be in the moment without all of the anxiety, and you can take a look at what you're doing. I completely understand what you're saying about acting because of skating. Mm-hmm. And I wish that I had been doing yoga a lot longer, but there's just times where it's like peeling back the onion, right? Like the layers fall away and you can take a look at it. You can be in it. You can just sort of surrender to the moment and have the full experience without all that
the moment
stuff.
Like I would imagine for skating, for acting, for riding the horse, you find that even though you do need to maybe worry about what's next, as far as safety and, you know, what Joyce you're going to do, your triple sal cow or whatever, but that there is space here in this moment, in this breath. I can pause for a second. Nobody else might even notice the pause.
Yep.
But there is space in every moment.
Well, it's not to say that you don't plan. Like you said, you know, you have to plan, you have to practice, you have to do, like, you don't just, you know, breathe and relax and meditate and everything happens, you know, perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, but it's when it doesn't happen perfectly that I think all of that, you just are coming from a better, stronger base. You know, you've got more, like one example is like, I remember I was doing Death of a Salesman and it was one of like the biggest scenes. And I was just, and I looked at the guy that was playing my son and I had no idea what I was supposed to say. And
wow.
If you
panic,
yeah. But if you panic, you're never going to know. Right. Mm-hmm. But I just, I'm like, take a big deep breath and kind of focus. And it just seemed like I took a really long pause and I looked at him and my lines came out and we just kept going with the scene. But like, I had to be able to just,
maintain.
Yeah. And breathe and let it come in, let everything come back. Like, cause if you tense up, it's like, if you try to do a tree pose and you're tense, you're never going to do it. Because you cannot, your butt, like the stiffer right. you are, the harder, like you're going to fall over. Because
you're probably holding your breath, you're tensing your muscles, you're
clenching your teeth,
you're fighting yourself.
If you breathe and you relax and you maybe have a little bend in your knee, you know, like so that like maybe you have a little wobble, but you're
human shock
to work with there.
You're like, okay, so, but you're not trying to force anything. Mm-hmm. And that's when you find your balance. You know, more like I'm really struggling with balance right now in classes because I haven't, you know, practiced. That's like where I'm okay, but I'm trying to get better. And that's the one thing about practicing, you know, like this challenge is like practicing as much as I did. It's like things fell away because mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if I hit tree pose today because mm-hmm. I've got, mm-hmm. you know, I can try in Mary Beth's class right after this mm-hmm. one, you know, mm-hmm. and then you can kind of piggyback. And if like you take a hot power class first, you know, and sometimes things go a little too fast. I'm like, my knee won't do that. So I just like kind of will slow it down and do, you know, kind of try to keep up a little bit, but you know, I know my knee won't do that, but my knee might be able to do that same thing. I can take what I learned in this class and Mary Beth is teaching the slow class afterwards. I'll take that class and find my balance is way better because
you just brought up all these different things. Now, I know, these right? options you have in that moment, your drishti might affect your balance, your breath, your knee being unlocked. There's so many things now you're like, all right, let's try this. There's so many things.
But
you can
what
do.
She didn't do is say, I can't do this. Or
I'm an idiot.
Yoga's stupid. Or like, yeah. And that's like, that's a true practice, you know, that's amazing. And isn't it great as a teacher, Mary Beth, when you have somebody in class who takes child's pose or takes a knee or takes something that works, steps out, takes something that works better, takes care of themselves. That's what I'm trying to say.
And as Joyce, as you and I have talked about so many times, even on this podcast, is people like Malice and Jen Ertelak, someone with an injury, countless people, when you stand in the front of the room and do that, some person who's struggling with their ego or self-assurance about it is like, oh, she won the freaking contest.
Yeah.
She's an expert. She just went over and held on to the wall to do tree pose. Certainly I can do it.
Yeah. Or I'm okay.
It's fine. This is not
this
a big
a
deal.
Practice. Like James always says, it's just a practice.
Just practice. But I think too, like, because I've tried to come back before and I would
come
just
back kid,
come the comeback kid. I tried to, you know, get, cause I loved when I first came to modern yoga, I had a little, practice. I was, you know, practicing two or three times a week. But I just felt like modern yoga gave me more opportunity to practice and gave me, I mean, I just loved this and I was kind of in a weird place in my life and I just kept going, and I kept, I had a pretty good, you know, I was doing inversions, and, you know, I had a lot of binds, and, you know, I had a pretty solid practice. I was in halfway decent shape. I mean, not great. It was like 100% compared. But so then after I hurt myself, and every time I would try to come back, all I would focus on was what I could not do. Mm. And I would leave this place that I loved, and I would leave it crying. I would cry all the way home because I couldn't, you know, bend into second position. My knee wouldn't let me do that. I couldn't do goddess squat. I couldn't, you know.
So the things that you could not do got stronger because that's what you were practicing.
And then it was right before COVID, I started coming back, and it was a different mindset. And it was like, this is what I can do. It's not what I could do 3 years ago, but it's what I can do now. Mm-hmm. And this is where I have to be. And then that got derailed because of COVID. But so this journey, this time, and that's been where I've been, like, you know, it's not the practice that I want, but it's the practice where I am. And I have to get the most out of where I am.
Yeah. So the metaphor for literally every person's COVID journey, their job, their school, it wasn't what they would have chosen or what they wanted, but this is what we've got. So let's make the most of it.
And I do find that every day that changes.
Yeah.
You know, every time I go to class, you know, maybe my balance isn't great today, but you know, like yesterday, I had a really good balance class, you know? So it's a journey. For sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for sharing your story twice.
And there's still more to be shared. So we're going to have to have you back.
Yes, we're definitely.
Anytime.
Yeah. I say that a lot. And we haven't had a lot of people back just because we keep trying to get a season out. But we're going to have to do, like, Joyce, maybe our next season should be all repeat guests.
Where are they now?
You put that together, Mary Beth.
Yeah, like, where are they now? Like the old, the old, not MTV. What was the other? VH1, where they would take the 80s hair bands and the tragedy that they survived and then came out the other side.
We've been podcasting a whole 2 years almost. So where are they now?
Hopefully.
Maybe in 3 months, we'll see where Warrior Challenge winner Mary Beck is and how her life has changed. That's a great idea, though. I do like it. But thank you again, Mary, for your time twice and all of your time since 2017 and your 108 classes or 106 classes, I think, and 680 lifetime visits. Wear your belt proudly.
To Marks. The grocery store. Oh, Marks. It's got to be Marks.
I said Marks, yeah.
Or the Walmart.
I think you should wear it to Market District. I mean,
you know, it's closer. Well, no, Marks is closer. Either one.
Wear it to Heinen's and somebody probably will call the police.
Hey, I've gone into Heinen's in my barn clothes. So,
hey, well, Heinen's is good for barn clothes because there's a lot of, you know, natural farm to table-y kind of things there. So you can wear your muck boots there.
Well, thanks again.
Okay.
All right, we're done.